Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. I hope and pray that the Lord will bless you through this message from His Word, the Bible. And today I'm going to be preaching beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. And I'm going to be talking about this subject, doctrine and ethics. Doctrine and ethics. And what I want to talk about is the reality of Christian doctrine and Christian ethics. Now, you know, there's so much confusion, error, and even ignorance today revolving around the notion or the idea of what Christianity, true Christianity, is all about. A person who is a true Christian is a sinner saved by the grace of God, one who is a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the name Christian comes. The name Christian was given to the followers of Jesus by unbelievers in the book of Acts. And that's what they called them, Christian, because of their doctrine and because of their ethics. And so many people today are confused about these issues of doctrine and ethics. For example, it's not uncommon for some to say that in doctrine that we really doctrine doesn't really mean that much. What really means something is how you live. And they'll say, so it doesn't matter what you believe, it's how you live. Or some friends of mine told me about visiting a church where the pastor told them, says that they don't even deal in doctrine because doctrine divides. But my friend, the reality of true Christianity is that doctrine means everything, right doctrine. And when we talk about how one lives, when we're talking about ethics, how you behave yourself, how you conduct yourself, or what the Bible sometimes calls conversation, the Bible teaches this, is that unless your doctrine is right, you cannot, in the sight of God, and according to the truth of the Bible and true Christianity, you cannot live right. You see, that's the issue. And so doctrine is essential. And ethics, right living, is essential. But how do we view these things in true Christianity and from the Bible? Well, one old preacher years ago made this statement, and I think it holds true, and I'm going to make this statement, and then we'll go through the scripture and unpack it. And what he said this, he says, our doctrine, true Christian doctrine, is sovereign grace. We believe our doctrine, and the word doctrine just means teaching, the teachings of the scripture. Our doctrine is salvation for sinners by the sovereign, free grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and based upon the merits of His obedience unto death, His blood to put away our sins, and His righteousness to justify us before God. That's our doctrine. That's the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we're preaching doctrine. Now, there are false gospels. There's false doctrine. And then there's true doctrine. And so, without right doctrine, without the true gospel, without preaching and believing and living by grace, you cannot call yourself, rightly call yourself a true Christian. So that preacher, he said, our doctrine is sovereign grace. Our ethic, our motivation for living and way of life is gratitude. And I've often said on this program that the motives for true Christian living is grace, gratitude, and love. And that's true. In other words, why does a believer, a sinner saved by grace, serve the Lord, seek to obey the Lord, and fight sin? There are evil motives for doing that. And those evil motives would be legalism. In other words, they're doing it out of legal fear of hell, legal fear of damnation, legal fear of loss of reward. And then there's a mercenary spirit that's evil. A mercenary, you know, is like a person who does what he does or does what she does for reward, for hire, a hireling. In other words, serving the Lord because you're trying to earn your rewards. That's a mercenary. But God's true people, sinners saved by grace, based on the righteousness of Christ, are to serve the Lord with gladness, the psalmist said, motivated not by legalism or a mercenary spirit of earned reward, but because of grace. We've been given a gift that we did not earn and did not deserve. In fact, it's a gift that we've done everything not to earn it, not to deserve it. My salvation is by grace, not by works. Now, people who, and my works have nothing to do with the ground of my salvation, with gaining or maintaining it. My works do not count. Now, understand what I'm saying. My works are the fruit of God's grace. My obedience is the fruit of God's grace. But it doesn't count in the law books of God. The only thing that counts is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now, to make that point, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'll begin reading here at verse 9. And let me say this. The church at Corinth was a church that had a lot of problems. And if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll see that. They had problems with division over preachers. They had problems with people claiming to be Christian and living what we would call immoral lives, doing things that they shouldn't do. And they had other problems. But here the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, is dealing with some of these issues of Christians who would say, or professing Christians, who would say, well, if I'm saved by grace, it's based upon the work of Christ, it's not my works at all, therefore I don't have to make any effort to obey God. It doesn't matter what I do. You see, anybody who claims to be a Christian who says it doesn't matter what you believe, but it's how you live, or who says that because of what you believe, it doesn't matter how you live, they're wrong. They don't know the Bible. They don't know the power of the grace of God and the reality of that. And so Paul deals with them. Some of these professing believers were doing some awful things, sexual immorality, and using grace as an excuse to sin. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now the unrighteous, generally speaking, refers to any unbeliever. Because they proclaim that they are righteous not by the grace of God, but by their works. But the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he's talking about people whose lives are marked by such sinful practices that prove that they're unbelievers. But now these Corinthians, who were dabbling in these issues, they claim to be believers. And so Paul seeks to motivate them to stop living that kind of lifestyle and to start serving the Lord, being obedient to God, fight sin. Now, how does he do it? Well, he doesn't do it by saying, now, if you don't stop, you're going to hell and all of that. He says in verse 11, now listen to what he says, verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. That was your character. That was your lifestyle in unbelief. But he says, but you are washed. Now, what does that mean, you're washed? Does that mean they took baths that morning or that night? No. The washing here that he's referring to is the purging of their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing a hymn in our church. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, what does that washing entail? Well, it means that Christ, as the surety, as the substitute, as the redeemer of his people, went to the cross, having the sins of his sheep, the sins of God's elect, imputed, charged to him, and he went under the just punishment of the wrath of God as their sin bearer, their sin offering. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of them all, and he satisfied justice by his obedience unto death. And their sins were purged away, taken away. That means, this washing comes, what the Bible sometimes called the washing of regeneration. That's the new birth. When the Holy Spirit brings a sinner, an unbeliever, a spiritually dead sinner, that's what we are by nature, ruined in Adam, spiritually dead. When the Holy Spirit brings a spiritually dead sinner under the preaching of the gospel and gives that sinner spiritual life, a new heart, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, they're born again. That is the spiritual application of the blood of Christ to their hearts and their minds, their affection, their will, their conscience. And that's called a washing. It's a spiritual washing. It's not being baptized in the baptistry. That's an ordinance which believers are to confess that they've been washed in the blood of Christ. And it's not any ritualistic thing. It is a spiritual bath engaged by the Holy Spirit when he applies the reality, the truth, of my sins being washed away by the blood of Christ. It's the cleansing of the conscience, the sprinkling of the blood upon the heart and the conscience. And that's what he's saying here. You're washed. You've been the Holy Spirit has given you life, and now you believe in Christ. You've repented of dead works. And then he says, you are sanctified in verse 11. It means you've been set apart. And what that means is that having been washed by the blood of Christ, being a believer, a sinner saved by grace, you are set apart not to be with the world in its immorality or in its false religion. But you are set apart to live unto God, to live for the glory of God, to conduct yourself in your ethical behavior in a way that honors God and glorifies Him. To conduct yourself as a witness of the glory and the grace and the power of God in Christ to save me from my sins. Now, I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. But having been saved by grace, having been washed by the blood of Christ, having been set apart by God for His service and His glory, I'm to fight these sins. I'm not to give in to them. They're sinful things within my thoughts, my inner being, and that it's like a law within me that I can't get away from. But I'm not to put those things into action. I'm to fight them in every way, not in order to be saved, not in order to be washed, not in order to be made righteous in God's sight for my justification, but because I already have been graced, blessed with all of these things, which I don't earn and don't deserve. It's a gift that God has given me, and I'm to do this to express my gratitude, my love for God, for what He's done for me. You see the difference? That's the ethic. He says here, you're set apart, but he says in verse 11, he says, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're justified. What is it to be justified? Now that justification is an awesome truth. And sinners saved by grace are those whom God has justified by His grace through the blood of Christ. To be justified means that I'm forgiven of all my sins. Past sins, present sins, and future sins. You know, there's some people who kind of believe that, well, when I accept Jesus as my Savior, I'm forgiven of every sin up to that point, but then I've got to do something else in order to be forgiven for future sins. That's a lie. That's not the gospel. That's not the grace of God. I am forgiven. I am totally forgiven of all my sins. The sins that I have committed, the sins that I am committing, the sins that I will commit. Now, does that give me an excuse to sin more? No. No. Because the grace of God is not only a doctrine, it's also a power. It's also an inner being that as the Holy Spirit indwells me, that urges me and inspires me to fight sin, to avoid sin in a way of grace and gratitude and love. That's the case. So to be justified is to be forgiven. And the reason it's called justified is because that forgiveness is based on a just, righteous ground, and that ground is the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, to be justified also means that I am literally and spiritually and eternally declared righteous in God's sight. Now, how am I declared righteous? It's based upon the righteousness of Christ, imputed, charged to me. As my sins were charged to Him, and He went to the cross and died for my sins, His righteousness, the merit of His whole work of obedience unto death, is imputed, charged to me in the law books of God. Romans 4 and verse 6 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. The righteousness that I have before God, by which I am justified in His sight, is not my works, not my efforts to obey, not my sincerity. It's totally, completely, and exclusively the work of Christ on the cross. That's my righteousness before God. He is the Lord, my righteousness. Jeremiah the prophet stated that twice, talking about the name of Christ and the name of His bride, the church. I have no righteousness of my own. I have no righteousness within. I am righteous in Christ. Now, from that righteousness imputed to me, from the life of Christ, comes life within me by the Holy Spirit that enables me to look to Him and believe in Him and to repent of my dead works and repent of my sins and to fight sin in a way that's honoring to God. And that's where we come down to grace and gratitude and love. So you see, that's what Paul's saying here. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's to His honor and glory. And by the Spirit of our God, when the Spirit of God shows us who we are, our sinfulness, our depravity, when He shows us how much We deserve the eternal damnation and wrath of Almighty God. That's when He brings us to this grace and gratitude, this doctrine and ethic. You see, that's what we're talking about. Look over at Romans chapter 6 with me. In Romans chapter 6. And this is a very, very telling passage. But we'll look at verse 17. Look at Romans 6:17. It says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." Now, a servant of sin is an unbeliever. An unbeliever can be one who not only delves into the immoral practices of the world, the sexual immorality of the world, the thievery or whatever, but a servant of sin can also be a religious person who's doing his or her dead level best to avoid such immoral practices, but in a way of legalism, a way of being a mercenary, trying to keep the law, trying to clean themselves up in order to earn their way into God's favor. Now that describes people like the Apostle Paul before he was saved. Paul, he made the statement in Philippians chapter 3 that before he was converted to Christ by the power of God through the Holy Spirit, as touching the law, he was a Pharisee, outwardly appearing righteous unto men, fighting the sins that men and women naturally recognize. So understand that now. A servant of sin just doesn't refer just to the immoral faction of the world. It refers to the false religion of the world. So Paul says, you were the servants of sin, but listen, you have obeyed from the heart, this is Romans 6:17, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now there was a doctrine. And what was the doctrine? It's the gospel. It's the truth of salvation by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:21, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he's saying here is you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart. Now that heart there is the mind, the affections, the will. It's the new heart given by God as a gift in through the Holy Spirit from Christ. This is not a heart. This is not the natural heart. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But he says, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And that phrase literally would say, which you've been delivered to. The Holy Spirit brought you under the gospel, the doctrine. Now look at verse 18. He says, being then made free from sin, liberated from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. There's the ethic. A servant of righteousness. Now what is a servant of righteousness? It's a person, a sinner saved by grace, who looks to, believes in, and rests in the Lord Jesus Christ for all righteousness, and who follows Him in His Word. That's the ethic. In other words, a servant of righteousness is not one who is serving to work out a righteousness of his own in order to be justified before God. He's a person who serves the Lord because God has freely given him all the righteousness that God requires through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look across the page there at Romans 7 and verse 4. In Romans 7 and verse 4, he says, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law. Now, what is it to be dead to the law? It means the law cannot condemn you. The law cannot charge you with sin. How did we become dead to the law? Believers now. By the body of Christ. That's by the death of Christ. We didn't become dead to the law by our efforts to keep the law. because I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And my efforts to keep the law, and I should make an effort to be obedient, to be good. But my efforts don't make me good or righteous. It's the body of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And he says that you should be married to another. That's a spiritual marriage union between Christ and his people. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should what? Now here's the ethic. Bring forth fruit unto God. Bear the fruit of God's power and grace and love in Christ. And what is that fruit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, which speaks of obedience and service to the Lord. He says in verse 5 of Romans 7, for when we were in the flesh, the motions or the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, the passions of sin can refer to the immorality of the world or the false religion of the world. Either way, it's fruit unto death. And he says in verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. That newness of spirit is the ethic of grace, gratitude, and love, not legalism, not a mercenary, but grace, gratitude, and love, not in oldness of the letter. That's that legalism. Serve in newness of spirit. A new spirit. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit gives life to a dead sinner. Life from Christ to a dead sinner. He brings him to that doctrine of grace, salvation by grace based upon the blood, the righteousness of Christ, freely given, and the ethic of grace and gratitude and love. Doctrine and ethics, they go together. The doctrine teaches us that the ground of our salvation and the merit that we have before God is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And then we spend our lives thanking God for his grace. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.